Welcome to another episode of the Doug Serravo Show. Today we are previewing the New Jersey Devils 21-22 season, and we have a longtime Devil fan and one of the JV greats, Austin Schoening. Austin, how are you today? Oh, I hope so. It's been a long time since we've saw our winning team on the ice. Oh yeah, that was what, 17-18? And you would think that was the start of something, but rebuild point two. Here we are. All right, so let's start with the offseason. We brought in Dougie Hamilton, Jonathan Bernier, Thomas Tatar. As a former season ticket holder, are these the moves you like to see? Scott Stevens?
You know, what Falchenkov and Talinder back then? No. So anyway, this is exactly the kind of guy that they needed. I know a lot of people are going to point to maybe he's not the best defender in the world, but the Devils desperately needed somebody that could move the puck on defense. This is a legitimate quarterback for a power play that they desperately needed, a power play that was pretty terrible last year. I think that's the main thing that he was brought in for, is to run that power play, and I think we're going to see someone that hopefully can get probably between 45 and 50 points.
That would be good for this Devils team.
Definitely. This is a desperate need they needed. A lot of people were calling on ownership that, you know, we've had all this money for many, many years now. And that was always the marketing tool was, well, we're going to utilize our cap space. And now you finally see it. They signed him to a 7-year deal of $9 million per. They opened up the wallets. They showed that, you know what, we're ready to take the next step as a team. And I think that with our young guys, this was the right time to do it. So Dougie Hamilton was absolutely a perfect acquisition for the Devils this offseason.
What about Jonathan Bernier? If we look at prior years, we didn't really have a solid backup. We had Kincaid. We had Corey to Marty.
I think that was the main problem with the Devils the last couple of years, is that when one goalie was going, the other one was not. When Corey was playing well, Kincaid was terrible. When Kincaid was playing well, then Corey would be terrible. Blackwood, in his 2 years, he hasn't had a legitimate backup goaltender. Aaron Dell, that experiment did not work out last year. Scott Wedgwood.
Louis Domingue.
What was that?
Louis Domingue.
Louis Domingue. That didn't work out. The Devils haven't had a legitimate, you know, backed up goaltender in quite some time. I think you're even talking back to the Marty days. I mean, maybe Hedrick was okay, but I mean, even at that point, it wasn't. Especially in the NHL now, you don't have a guy like Martin Brodeur that's going to play 70 plus games. You know, these starting goaltenders are probably playing a max in the mid 50s. So you need somebody that's going to come in for 30 to 35 games. Ideally, this is where Corey Crawford comes in. Unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be. Jonathan Bernier was definitely not number one on my list when we were going through backup goaltenders in the offseason. I think it was an okay acquisition. He had a little bit of a rough start in the preseason. Again, that is preseason. I think that if you're looking at somebody to get maybe in between a 9.10 to 9.15 save percentage, I'm not 100% sure that's going to be the guy. I definitely think it will be an improvement. I don't think the Devils need to have the best goaltender tandem in the league. I think it needs to be average. And I think that Jonathan Bernier will help Blackwood get to that middle of the tier pack.
What about Thomas Tatar? It's always good to have another forward instead of having these young guys that have no experience step up.
Yeah, this one was a little bit more under the radar. I didn't exactly anticipate them going in this direction. I definitely wanted a winger. I know there's a lot of talk about a Brandon Saad. I was not really interested in that for I think he wound up getting a 6-year deal. That wasn't something I really was super, super interested in. I think a lot of the knock on Tatar is that he disappears for a while, especially in the playoffs. You know, he was benched quite a few games. I mean, Montreal made it to the cup final and he wound up only playing 5 playoff games. You know, that's not what I really have. That's not a big concern for me. I think this is a guy that's proven throughout the NHL in his years that he is a pretty layup 20 goal scorer. I'm looking at his stats here. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 last 8 or so years have been 20 goal seasons. Then one of them was an injury riddled year, it looks like. So, you know, This was a nice signing. It's not going to change the world. It's not going to really put them too much over the edge. You know, this is a guy that a lot of he's like an analytic darling. You know, a lot of people feel highly about him. A lot of more eye test people have some issues. I would like to see him play in the first line with Jack and Sharon Govich at some point. I know right now they have him in the third line with Mercer and Janssen. I think that might change at some point. I think Tatar is a sniper that Jack can definitely use on his wing with Sharon Govich. It was a good signing.
All right, so two guys in my mind, and probably your mind too, have to step up. That is Nico Hischier and Jack Hughes. What are you seeing from Nico this year, and then what are you seeing from Jack? Two cornerstone pieces for this franchise. One is the captain.
Tom Fitzgerald has said that this team is going to go when Nico and Jack go. That's what he said. This is the year that it has to happen. I think even more so for the 2017 first round draft pick, Nico Hischier. I think it's time for him to really step up. This is going to be his 5th year in the NHL. I know that last year was obviously with the COVID shortened season. He had COVID. He had 2 injuries throughout the year. He really didn't play that much. So I'm not going to knock him for anything. I don't even think it's worth discussing, you know, digging into how he played last year. This is the year that he needs to step up. I need to see significant offensive contribution from him. And I need to see, everyone talks about how, you know, he's this great defender. I don't really see it. I see him as potentially being the guy that can be a great, you know, 2C that maybe could be a shutdown line for them at some point. But I think you need to see 60 points from Nico Hischier this year. However way he gets to it, if it's 20-40, if it's 30-30, he needs to get to around 60 points this year. I think anything less than that would be a disappointment. He's the captain of this team. He is the first overall pick. We don't need to get into specifics of who was selected around him. That's already popped off a lot more than he has. I don't think it's worth talking about. But this is the year that we need to see it from him. This is his 5th year in the league. We need to see it. Besides one year that he played his rookie year with Taylor Hall, his seasons have been above average. We need to see more from number 13. For Jack, I have a lot more confidence in what we're going to see from Jack than I do Nico. Not that that's a slight on Nico. That's just the kind of player that I think Jack Hughes is going to be. I think he should be hovering around that 60 point range. I'm a little bit nervous about his line right now with Sharon Govich and Kuokkanen. Sharon Govich, I think, is really going to take another step this year. Although I do like Yannick Kuokkanen, I don't think he is exactly a first-line player.
Oh, no, he's a third-liner.
He's the third-liner, so I would much rather have Tatar in that spot. I think that they're trying to insulate Mercer with Janssen and Tatar, which could work. But I think if you see that Jack is off to a slower start, I think you definitely need to move somebody up into that position. I think that would either be Tatar, or there's a certain prospect that just got sent to Utica that has a pretty good shot that I think could be brought up too if need be. But, you know, what I want to see from Jack this year, I want to see him continue to be a fantastic playmaker that we started to see last year. He was hot in the beginning of the season. He was hot at the end. In the middle, he admitted that there were some issues with COVID that made it slowed him down a little bit. I think you want to see around 60 points from him too. My number for 1386, I want to see combined about 120 points. I think any less than that, you'd be a little disappointed.
I would. So I assume the lines you were looking at was from dailyfaceoff.com where they have Kuokkanen playing with Hughes on the first line?
That was on Daily Faceoff, and I believe the team reporter, Amanda Stein, also had the lines from practice today, and she had – let me just see here. Let me pull it up. She – yeah, so she has Janssen and Mercer going with Tatar, and then Kuokkanen is going with Sharon Govich, and then you have Heischer, Zacha, and Bratt. And the fourth line, you have Studenich, who, you know, good for him that he finally made the team. This is someone that we were – you know, we're watching for a while, but I think that's going to be Miles Wood's spot once he's good to go. What do you think? You think – I think Tatar should be playing with Jack.
Yeah, I think Tatar would be a first liner with him.
Again, though, you don't want to get too crazy about the lines, especially – like, those can change so quickly. I mean, how many times have we seen, you know, a line not go and then, you know, a coach will make a change right in the middle of the game. So if the Devils need a goal on Friday against Chicago, or maybe if they play a good game on Friday and Monday against Seattle, it's not going so great, you can change these things. These things are very, very flexible. So listen, they played well last year. I don't think that Yanni Kuokkanen is going to help Jack get to where he needs to be. However, maybe we'll see that Jack Hughes is going to drag his line mates with him. How many different guys have we seen Sidney Crosby get huge contracts with that were no good? So not saying that Jack Hughes is going to be Sidney Crosby, but if he's going to be that kind of player, the kind of player that we all expect him to be, that playmaker, this is the calling card to bring somebody along that, you know, has some skill. Yanni Kuokkanen definitely has some skill. He's not a first liner on a lot of teams, but he definitely has some skill that I think Jack can bring out more. So.
All right. So we're talking about important years. How important is this for Pavel Zacha?
This is make or break for Pavel Zacha. I think that if he does not, if he reverts to form, I think this is where you cut bait. I believe this is now going to be his sixth full year in the league. He has had five of them have been disappointing. Last year was good. If you look at the shooting percentage, it's pretty insane. The underlying numbers for him were not so great. I'm not the biggest analytical guy in the world, but, you know, you do take those for what they are. He shot way over his head last year. Can he do it again? Are there guys that will shoot over what the analytics say? Yes, there definitely are. However, he needs to keep going what we saw last year. I think that if Pavel Zacha is not at 40 points this year, maybe even 45. I'm just going to be generous and stick at the low end of 40. I think you need to see him in that 40 to, you know, that 40 point range. It's going to be helped by the fact that I think he's probably going to get a lot of first time power play minutes. I think with Jack Hughes and Dougie Hamilton out there, he's going to have a lot of open space. You seen last year, and you saw in a couple games of the preseason, this guy has a shot. This guy probably has one of the best shots on the team currently. That's not including Holtz, but he has a rocket of a shot. He gets open in the slot, and on the power play with a screen in front, he puts a lot of pucks in the back of the net. This is a huge, huge, huge year for him. If he reverts back to form and he goes missing or he's getting scratched, he's done. That's it for me. Whether they just don't tender him, they trade him for nothing for a bag of pucks, it's whatever at that point. He needs to have a good year because he's had too many disappointing years followed by one. If he doesn't have a good year this year, it might look like a fluke to a lot of people. And it will definitely look like a fluke to me. So he has to have a good year. And he's going to be playing with Heischer and Bratt. So that's a line that needs to excel if we're going to perform well this year. So it's a big year for Pavel Zacha.
His career high in goals was last year, 17. He's only 24 years old. Before where he was selected, he should be producing. From 16 to 17, he went from the point totals were 24 to 25 to 25 to 32 to 35. So it's career highs last year. But it's slowly.
Shortened season, yeah.
It's slowly by year.
It's slowly by year, but, you know, how many guys in the history of the NHL become 60, 70-point scorers after progressing for, what, you know, 8, 9 years? You don't see it too often. If he produces at the rate that he did last year, I would be comfortable saying that maybe this is a guy that can score 50 points in the NHL. He better score 50 points in the NHL if he's going to continue playing second line wing. I think that, again, this is another spot for Holtz. If Zacha is not performing, this is a spot where Zacha could get moved down to wing on the third line, and maybe Holtz gets inserted on the second or first line. He needs to perform. There's guys that are ready to go. He needs to perform.
And it's this year.
It's this year. And you know what? I'll actually rope another guy into that, number 63. Yes, we're Brad. He has to have a year like this, too. This is another year. This is a guy that held down on contract talks last year. Fitzgerald wound up winning that and having a decent contract for Brett. He's got to do it too. This is a guy that I think is very, very easily capable of scoring 60 points in the low end in this league. He is dynamic. He is one of the best players I've seen on the Devils in recent years on his edges. He's got a good shot. His stick handling is amazing. He needs to have a good year too. I think that they go hand in hand. They're going to be playing together, probably be playing together a lot. I'm not sure if they'll play in the same power play unit, but they'll be playing 5-on-5 a lot. Both these guys, you need to see what you get out of them. If it's another mediocre to below average year for them, you got to start looking at other options, because if Jack and Nico take the next step, and you know, Jesper Bratt and Pavel Zacha are proven that they're not top six wingers, you got to look elsewhere. How much longer can you really wait?
All right, let's, before we get into my favorite rookie, let's get to Michael McLeod. Is he still a fourth liner, or does he have more potential, whether it's a third or a second?
I don't think it's a second. I think that, you know, going into the camp, I really wasn't sure if the Devils were going to pull the trigger on your favorite rookie, I'm assuming. I wasn't sure that they were going to pull the trigger on putting him in the spot that he is right now. I was encouraged by what I saw from Michael McLeod last year. I think at this point with guys like McLeod and Zacha, you don't look at where they were drafted because it's just irrelevant at this point. Obviously, Michael McLeod was a mid-round pick in the first round. You know, for where he was, this isn't the kind of production you expect, but it's time to throw that out the window. If this guy can be a productive fourth-line player, this can be a total mismatch for the Devils this year. If Michael McLeod is able to be an effective fourth-line winger, skating around the ice, and hopefully playing some penalty kill too. There's not many teams, I should say, that have a guy like Michael McLeod as their fourth line center. He's aggressive. He hard nosed, forechecks, and he showed he has a little bit of offense last year. I know he's missing his best buddy Nate Bastian, but I think Miles Wood and looks like Jimmy Vesey is going to be his partner for now. I think that Michael McLeod, I wouldn't have been totally disappointed actually if he started off on the third line. I think that we can kind of get like Zajac production out of him, maybe in that 30 to 35 point range, and somebody that kills penalties. And I think that's his role. I think that's his niche. And it seems like he mentioned that he wanted to take the role of what Travis Zajac was, a guy that wins faceoffs, a guy that's aggressive, a guy that is relentless on the puck, a guy that, how many years did Travis Zajac play against the top centers on other teams? It seems like that's the kind of role that we're going to get out of Michael McLeod. That's what he wants. That's what he seems to want for himself. And that would be a complete plus. If he can show the potential to be a third line guy and be playing on the fourth line, and if you can get some other guys going, I think you're in business. But yeah, I do think he has potential to be a third line guy. I don't think we'll see him score more than 40 points in his career, but he can definitely be a third line guy. I think he's capable of it. However, I think the Devils have put themselves in a position that he doesn't need to be. And if he doesn't need to be, that fourth line is really going to be cooking for them.
Especially now that we get Jimmy Vesey. I think we were the favorites a few years ago.
You know, we missed out on him. We got Butcher instead, who, of course, is gone now after looking fantastic in his first year. Jimmy Vesey, based on conversations that he apparently had with Fitzgerald, he knows that he's not going to be a finesse player anymore. Not the guy that he was with the Rangers, where he was scoring goals. Can he net a few? I mean, if he's playing with a guy like Michael McLeod and Miles Wood scored goals last year. Michael McLeod showed you that he could score a couple goals. Jimmy Vesey is going to have a good opportunity to play on a fourth line this year with McLeod and Wood. They can do some damage. You know, he seems like he wants to morph his game into more of a, you know, grinder, more penalty kill, hard-nosed player, driving the, you know, crashing the net. If we can get that out of a guy that has a little bit of skill too, I was happy he made the team. I was at the preseason game against the Rangers. That one was definitely not his best one, but he had a couple of good games in the preseason, and I trust the coaching staff and the general manager with everyone that they had in camp. The Devils have some good prospects on offense. If they thought that Jimmy Vesey was to outperform them, then you know what? Then maybe we're in for a surprise this year.
All right, so the famous saying in hockey is your depth. So to have a third line center in Darson Mercer, how important is it for this team? And then can he develop into a top six forward?
I think that Darson Mercer can develop into a top six forward. I think that if he does become a top six forward, it's going to be on the wing. I'm not completely sold that he's going to be a center for his NHL career. I know a lot of people have said it. He really does truly remind me of Zach Parise, just a guy that's absolutely relentless on the puck, has some skill, and, you know, a guy that you want to captain your team. He just gives me that impression from the limited amount of time that we've had seen him in camp and in New Jersey. If you listen to some interviews, he just is very well-spoken. You can tell that he loves playing hockey. Dougie Hamilton has talked very highly of him in camp. This is a guy that's performed. When they took Darson Mercer in the first round, I was a little bit skeptical. There were some guys I might have preferred that had a little bit more offensive pop, but this guy has proven to be completely wrong. His offensive game has went to another level, and he looks like he's going to be a player. At 19 years old, I think insulating him with a guy in Janssen that, while he had a pretty poor year last year, the numbers say that he had a very unlucky year, and the shooting percentage is basically statistically impossible to have it again. And you have a guy like Tatar. If that's what he's going to be rocking with at first, I think that you couldn't ask for a better start in the NHL for Darson Mercer. I think that we are going to expect big things from him, and I think that this guy is going to wear an A on his jersey when the Devils eventually are contenders in the NHL.
How important is it that we are actually letting our young guys play instead of going out and signing veteran free agents just to fill the roster, whether it was Drew Stafford, whoever it may be? How important is it that we have these young guys playing?
Listen, we've been hearing about these young guys for years now. We've been hearing about them. And, you know, I've always been of the opinion that, you know, you need veterans. I think that was a problem that was addressed. After the Devils traded away Palmieri, they traded away Zajac. The previous year, they traded away Coleman. The Devils have gotten rid of a lot of their veteran forwards. They needed veteran forwards. You know, they needed Tatar. They needed veterans in general. So getting Hamilton was obviously good. Bringing a guy like VC in was good. These young guys do need to play, though. You need to strike a balance. I think the Devils have done a really good job of that. Not to get into the fact that I thought Holtz probably should have made the team. But this veteran balance, I think, is something that's going to benefit the Devils. And Darson Mercer playing with two NHL veterans, both guys that have been in the league for quite a bit of time at this point. I don't think you could ask for a better spot for him. The Devils have done a good job of bringing in the youth, but also having a couple of veterans to supplement them. That was a very, very big thing for them this year, is that they were way too young after they traded a couple of guys last year. You saw on the ice, you need a couple of veteran leaders that can speak up in the locker room. And I think that's exactly what they did, and I think they addressed it properly.
I think so, too. It's not the Ryan Clough, Mike Camilleri days.
When you have Ryan Clough signed, you have Michael Ryder signed. That was reactionary to Kovalchuk leaving. When
Marty Havlat.
Yeah, Marty Havlat. I mean, at that point, the Devils, you know, right before they lost Kovalchuk, they started off really well. I'm sure you remember. They started off really well after in that lockout season, and then they kind of teetered off when Brodeur got hurt and Hedberg just couldn't stop a beach ball that year. I think a lot of people thought the Devils were going to be pretty good when they wound up signing those guys. But now you see that, you know what, that didn't work for them now. There's definitely some teams in the NHL that are, you know, that definitely needs some of those. You need to sign those guys sometimes. It wasn't for the Devils the last couple of years, and they've done a good job staying away. And that's why I think this was the right time for Hamilton, is they stayed away from those big contracts for a long time. The only bad contract you have on this team is Subban, and he's gone in a year.
Yeah. You don't got to re-sign him.
You don't have to re-sign him. If he plays well and he's good with the boys in the locker room, then maybe you bring him back on something low. I don't anticipate that. I think this is probably the last year we see PK Subban in a Devil sweater. But again, that money's going to be gone. That $9 million is gone. That's basically a wash with Hamilton. The Devils are in a really good spot going forward to sign their players and also to bring anything in. Like we talked about, they need to overpay a little bit for a veteran at some point if they can't get over the hump. And maybe they put themselves in a position to do that. Losing Zajac's contract, losing PK's contract next year, they're in a good spot for that. We'll see how they perform this year if it warrants bringing in any other veteran talent, but they're in a good spot right now.
All right, so where do you see this team going this year? Is it a Stanley Cup wild card spot, top three in the division, maybe? Or are they just a bubble team competing for a spot like the Toronto Blue Jays, for example? They were there. They just missed out.
And they're a young team, too, so that's a good comparable going against a couple of older teams like the Yankees and Red Sox. I don't think this is the year the Devils are going to make the playoffs, personally. I want to see improvement. I want to see improvement from Nico and Jack. I want to see overall improvement on the defense, which I think just it's not great that Smith and Severson look like they're probably not going to start the year. So you got to go with Colton White and Kristen Yarros, which you're not totally confident in as a third pair. And then also Subban and Siegenthaler are playing a little bit above their head on the second line. But that'll all even out. I think hopefully Graves will pair well with Hamilton. But you want to see improvement from the Devils. You want to see Mackenzie Blackwood become the franchise goalie that a lot of us think that he is. You want to see Jack and Nico perform up to a different level offensively. Guys like Sharon Govich taking the next step. Does a guy like Michael McLeod overplay where he is in the fourth line? Does Dawson Mercer have a big year? Does Alexander Holtz have such a great start in the AHL that they have to bring him up? This is what I'm more concerned with this team, is just seeing consistent growth throughout the year. We cannot, unless it's completely ravaged by injuries, we cannot have years like last year where the team just teeters off. It's happened way too many times in the past. We have to see consistent growth from this team throughout the year. And I do think we will see that. I think it's possible if a lot of things break right and maybe Jack or Nico or both even overperform what I am expecting from them, I think they could push for a wild card. I don't think this is a team that's going to finish in the top three. I really don't. I know that some of the models have the Devils performing like second division. I think that's ridiculous. I don't think there's any way. There's no way that happens. I think the best the Devils can finish in this division is fifth. That's where I think would be the best. I would be okay with sixth. I don't want to see them at seventh or eighth. Definitely don't want to see them at eighth. I think in that 5-6 range, I think they might be able to hang around with a team like the Pittsburgh Penguins or maybe Washington. I think the decline might start for one of those teams. I think it's more likely that it's Pittsburgh. But the Devils, I would like to see them push for a playoff spot at the end. If they don't, as long as we see consistent growth and we see a team that's in the low to mid 80s, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
All right, so I've done this for everyone. Need your top three teams that will win a Stanley, that can compete for the Stanley Cup. Not the favorites. So I don't want to hear like Vegas or Colorado. I want to hear three surprise teams.
Three surprise teams. So who are we throwing out the window? We're throwing out.
You're Colorado. Throwing out Vegas. You're throwing out Tampa.
The island. You throwing out the Islanders?
Yeah, they're technically a contender.
I guess they're a contender. So three teams. You know what? One team I'll say is definitely Edmonton. I think just the fact that you have a guy like Connor McDavid and DeAndre Seidel, who arguably are the two best forwards in the league. I think that's a team that if they get hot and maybe they get a little bit better goaltending, they could be a team that pushes. You know what? I hate to say it. Not that and this might be going away from the question a little bit. And it's not a team that I think that can be a Stanley Cup contender, but a team that I think is probably going to do better than a lot of people think. I think that the very much hated Rangers might be due for a good year this year. I don't think that they're going to be Stanley Cup contenders, but I do think that that's a team that might overperform expectations. I think it wouldn't be out of the question that they can go as high as two in this division. I guess at that point, if you get into the playoffs as a seed like that, you know, you can make some noise. But in terms of another team, that's a surprise. I mean, I can't say the Maple Leafs. The Maple Leafs always get out in the first round, but they have so much talent. So can they surprise us maybe and perform well? I mean,
maybe.
Maybe this year they finally do it. I'll give you a team that I think is very, very good, that I think a lot of people are in on. The Florida Panthers are really, really good. Spencer Knight, I think, is gonna take the next step this year. He's a fantastic goalie. I think that guys like Spencer Knight show you why it's not the worst thing in the world when you're a pretty good team with a decent prospect. We'll take a goalie in the mid to you know, like in the tens. Alexander Barkov is one of the best players in the league. Jonathan Huberdeau, Aaron Ekblad. That's a team that I think can definitely make some noise. I think that they'll finish top two in the division. I think they can give Tampa a run for their money. I think Florida is ready to take that next step, and I would not at all be surprised if Florida represented the East in the Stanley Cup Finals.
I could see that.
They're a good team. They're a good team, and I'm jealous of it too because, you know, they – I mean, we played them in 2012, and they just went the total opposite trajectory that we went afterwards. You know, they've had a couple of playoff appearances, you know, when Luongo was the goalie. You know, Huberdeau, that's a guy that you look at, a guy like Huberdeau that didn't become like this point-per-game player right away. That's a guy that you could point to when hoping, you know, for something maybe like Nico Hischier, a guy that didn't exactly pop off right away. But, yeah, Florida's really good. I know a lot. I've heard quite a bit about them, and I know some people – it's a little bit of a popular pick, but I think Florida can be really, really good.
All right, now your Stanley Cup final matchup, and this is like the Islanders, Vegas, Tampa.
You know what? I think this is the year for the Islanders to get to the finals. I think they've been so close. Matt Barzal is a great player. I mean, I don't think, you know, you probably think like, well, how much more he can do? He can do a lot more. I think having a full year of a guy like Kyle Palmieri, I mean, they have that's going to be great. I love Kyle Palmieri. You know, he's good when he's playing on a good team. He's good for 25, 30 goals every year.
Mm-hmm. How would you feel if Parise is hosting the cup?
I mean, I would despise it. I don't like Zach Parise at all. I think that's I think that's very well documented, is that Austin Schoenig was in Walt Disney World when he got a text message from his friend that Zach Parise signed with Minnesota Wild, and it completely ruined my day on July 4th of 2012.
Nice. You remember the exact day, the exact place you were at?
Yeah. I was actually in line for a ride at Hollywood Studios in Disney World, and I got a text that – it was back when I don't know if you remember the website Sports Alert. That was before like I might have just had an iPhone at that point. So I got the alert that Zach Parise signed a deal, and then that Ryan Suter signed a deal. So there's no love lost between me and Zach Parise. When he was here, he was definitely one of my favorite players. A lot of that anger has subsided because Minnesota literally did nothing with those two contracts, and both of them are gone now. So a little bit of anger has subsided because he was such a great player for the Devils, and he was a good captain too. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a little bit burned that we lost out on him, and then we kept Kovalchuk, and we knew that we were going to lose him. That was the big contract that Lou decided, that we were going to go with Kovalchuk. Didn't go with Parise. I think that whole year we knew that Parise was probably going to leave, and he wound up doing it. You know, I'm not even a big – like, I don't view the Islanders as, like – I don't have a lot of disdain towards them, but I just as a rival, I very much don't want to see them in the finals. But I do think that we will see them in the finals. I think this is the year that they go over the hump. Their defense is fantastic. I mean, their goaltenders with Varlamov and Sorokin, that's top-notch. I think they will – you know, I keep going back between Colorado and Vegas. Those are just two really good teams. I'm going to go with this is what I'm going to say. I think it will be the Islanders taking on the Colorado Avalanche in the Stanley Cup Finals with a little bit of a notation that if there's been a lot of chatter about Vegas possibly trying to fit Jack Eichel, if he's able to play this year, I know that his surgery is going to take 3 to 4 months. So if he's able to come back around the playoffs or towards the end of the year in Vegas, the team that lands him, I think that might be the route that I would go. So I'm going to go with Colorado versus the Islanders. If Vegas is able to pull off a Jack Eichel trade and he's healthy, I would pick Vegas. So as stands, Colorado versus the Islanders.
What if we won the cup in 2012? Would Parise stay?
If the Devils won the cup in 2012, would Parise stay? No, I don't think he would have stayed. I think that I think he wanted to play with his boy, Ryan Suter. I know that a lot of it was that he wanted to be closer to family. JP Parise was a longtime NHLer. I actually went to a camp little known fact, JP Parise taught Austin Strong how to take slap shots to put the pinky above the knob at the camp that I was at. And he, of course, I believe passed away from cancer. So that's another reason why you kind of don't get on Zach too much for making that decision. But no, I think he wanted to go back to Minnesota. I think the Devils could have won 3 cups beforehand. He would have probably wanted to go back to Minnesota. I think that was just the way that it was. And I think the Devils kind of laid their bed. They gave the big contract to Kovalchuk, and I think he kind of saw where the direction was going. Kovalchuk was the franchise guy at that point.
Yeah, that was a rumor I heard about.
The rumor was that this is what I've read, is that, you know, the former owner of the Devils wanted Kovalchuk signed, and Lou really wanted him more of a rental when they traded for him back in 2010. That contract obviously cost the Devils pretty dearly. They would have had probably a pretty decent pick. Instead, they wound up, you know, they wound up losing the pick and then getting it back, and it wound up being about 30 when they got the year that they should have passed up on it was actually the year they took John Quenneville when they were 30. They never should have made that pick.
Oh, I thought it was Stephane Matteau.
Oh, it was Stephane Matteau the year that they didn't pass it up with that pick. I think their comp pick wound up being John Quenneville. When they got the pick back, they picked John Quenneville, I think, in, what was that, 2014? When they got the pick back. Wasn't that what it was? Stephane Matteau, they picked at 29 the year that they made it to the cup final. They should have passed the pick up at that point. For sure should have passed up the pick at that point. And because they, you know, John Quenneville didn't amount to much. But, you know.
Because the rumor I heard was Parise was told that he would have had a contract. And they kept promising it to him. Oh, don't worry, you'll get a contract. This was, I guess, in 2010. And then 2011, they gave him that 1 year, and then they went to the cup. And then the summer of 2020, instead of giving it to Parise, Kovalchuk got the big money.
I mean, it could have been. I mean, I think that if both players, you know, I think that Ilya Kovalchuk was the far superior player to Zach Parise. I think I like Zach Parise more because he was more of a workhorse. He was more of a blue-collar guy in terms of he worked in the corners, and he also had a lot of skill. Zach Parise, if you remember, though, I mean, he had a couple of 80, 90-point years, but he was more floating around the 60s. Ilya Kovalchuk was a given. That guy was scoring 35, 40 goals a year and was in that 80, 90-point range. I think that he was a much better player. I think that Zach Parise was a better fit for the Devils. You probably would have liked to see a contract extended to a guy that you drafted and that was such a fan favorite. I think besides Marty, I think in the last 10 to 15 years, I think Zach Parise was probably Devils fans' favorite players besides Brodeur in the last 10 to 15 years. I mean, we can never verify that's what happened. I mean, it makes sense that maybe Zach felt a little burned that they went with the Kovalchuk route. But, you know, it obviously didn't work out for the Devils back then. It did work out for them now, though, because the Devils never had to buy out Zach Parise's $7 million contract. And, you know, Ilya Kovalchuk still would have been playing at age 42 on $6 million. So I think it wound up working for the Devils that they're in the position. I mean, if the Devils had Zach Parise, or if they had Ilya Kovalchuk, do they have Nico Hischier? Do they have Jack Hughes?
Probably do they have Dougie Hamilton?
They dumped it. Yeah, they have. You never know. So things work out for a reason. I think that you know, if we continue with Kovalchuk and Parise, we probably would have bought a couple more years. That 2012 team had no business being in the finals. They were not the best team. The Rangers were by far a better team than them that year. They just outplayed them in that series. You got one more magical year out of Brodeur. Kovalchuk went on a burner. Salvador played like a Hall of Famer, which you never saw again. But, you know, I think that we would be in the rebuild. We would be in the early parts of our rebuilding process if we continued down the road that we were. So you take it for what it is. Now I think we're about to go back into another great age of Devils hockey with Nico Hischier and Ty Smith and Jack Hughes, Dougie Hamilton, Mackenzie Blackwood. I think we're going back into competitive hockey. Are they going to win a Stanley Cup? Who knows? Do I think that they're going to be a contender? I absolutely think they'll be a contender for Stanley Cup. I think we're 2 years away from being a legitimate contender, but we're definitely going in the right direction.
All right, so if we're in Prudential Center and we look above, we have Stevens, we got Danico, we got Niedermeyer, we got Brodeur, we got Eliash. I know, I think it's in February or March, the Devils are honoring Travis Zajac against the Winnipeg Jets. Do they happen to retire his number then, or do they wait a few years?
They never retire number 19. That number will never be retired. Travis Zajac was a great Devil. He was a great Devil. He was a guy that always matched up with the Crosby line. He always matched up with Backstrom and Ovechkin. He was a fantastic Devil. He played over 1,000 games. However, we all know that Travis Zajac is not going to be retired. His number is not going to be in the rafters. He did not win a Stanley Cup. He's not a Hall of Fame player. I think that disqualifies you immediately. That's my opinion. I think that's my opinion. You look at the guys up there right now. Scott Stevens, Martin Brodeur, Scott Niedermayer are currently Hall of Famers, and they all won Stanley Cups. They all had 3 Stanley Cups. Scott Niedermayer had another one with Anaheim, obviously. Patrick Eliash had 2 Stanley Cups with the Devils, and he's a borderline Hall of Famer. I personally think he is. I don't think he'll get in anytime soon. Travis Zajac is neither one of those things. I think
heart and soul, dedication.
Yeah, heart and soul. Yeah, that's great. Heart and soul, dedication. What I think that the Devils could do is they could maybe do a Ring of Honor, and I think the first 3 that go in would be Travis Zajac, John McClain, and Sergei Breland. I think that would be a nice thing to do to honor maybe some of the guys that – well, here's my thing, Dougie. John McClain should be retired before Travis Zajac should be retired. I mean, John McClain held the record for points and goals as a Devil for a very long time until Eliash broke it back in 2009 with points. I mean, that guy should be
retired. Yeah, McClain didn't – it's not like McClain – well, he won one cup, but
– he won one cup in 95, correct. I would not be completely disappointed if they retire McClain's number. I think that it's the time has passed for that. I think that you could have made an argument for it.
Yeah, we're not the Rangers. We don't wait 20 years.
No, yeah, I mean, listen, I was going to make that joke that if we retire Travis Zajac's number, we'll be the Rangers at that point.
See, I almost contradicted myself because I was going to say something like, well, McClain didn't really – well, he did win one cup, but Zajac has none, so.
Zajac, yeah, exactly. Zajac does not have a cup. He did get to the the cup finals. I don't think that having a cup in 2012 would have made a difference. I don't think that he would have been knowing that what his career was. I don't think a 2012 Stanley Cup finals would have changed that if they won. Doug, is Travis Zajac very reactionary? Lou signed him to a 6-year deal that was $5.75 million after maybe longer, but I think it was 7 years. After Parise left, they signed Zajac to a deal that was $5.75 million. I love Travis Zajac. He never lived up to that contract. I think there's just there's a couple things that are going against him in that way. I think Ring of Honor for sure, a guy that played 1,000 games and a very good Devil. He played for the crest, and that was something that he said that he loved playing for the Devils. He loved the crest. No, I don't think Travis Zajac should be retired. I think that you kind of devalue retiring jerseys at that point. That's my opinion. I know you feel differently. You think Zajac should be up there.
I think so. He may not have all the numbers.
What reason? Just heart and soul.
Heart and soul, the dedication that he left on his sleeve.
Does Zach Parise get his number retired then?
No, because he left.
Okay, but he was a much better player when he was here than Zajac was. This is a guy that had 95 points.
Yeah, but
Brian Gionta has the record for 48 goals in a season.
Yeah, but that's Brian Gionta.
He played for the Devils for 10 years.
Yeah, but he's – you don't think of top guys like Brian Gionta. You think of like Marty and Niedermayer.
You think of Travis Zajac?
I do.
You think of top guy? Oh, you're crazy. you think – when – at what point, what year was Travis Zajac a top 3 player on this team? One of the 3 best players?
You could look at 2012.
Kovalchuk, Parise,
Clarkson.
Yeah, Clarkson. Yeah, that's another one. Yeah, does David Clarkson get retired? He had a couple good years. He was heart and soul.
No, but he's...
No, in 2012, Kovalchuk, Parise, and Eliash were all much better than Zajac. And but you could throw Marty in there, too. I would throw Marty in there, too, honestly. Listen, Zajac had a big goal. He had that big goal against Florida in game six. I was right behind the net for that one, about 10 rows back. That was a fantastic moment. Sent us to game seven where Henry cleaned up to get us to the second round. So, yeah, Travis Zajac was a big reason why the Devils got to the finals in 2012. They didn't win. You can have a better argument if they won in 2012. That goal was so essential, but they just didn't win. I don't think that even if they did win, he would be worth going to. Let me look up his do you have that in front of you? Like his full stats for his career?
Yeah, give me a sec. Would you retire Henrique if he stayed?
No. Doug, you can't retire guys that are like hovering around 40 to 45, 50 points. Like you can't do that. Travis Zajac has 1,000 games, 1,037 games. He's got 203 goals. He's got 349 assists. He's got 552 points. So he's like a half a point per game player. You think that's worth retiring?
Shit, he didn't hit 20 goals in like.
Yeah, since he played with Parise and Leggenbrunner. That was his big offensive year. I think he had 67 points in maybe 2008.
Negative 20?
What's negative 20?
His plus minus.
Oh, his plus minus was a minus 20?
Yeah.
What, for his career?
Yeah, his career.
Okay, here's comparable numbers. Sergei Breland had 765 games played, and he had 308 points. So he's about, you know, roughly 300 games less than Zajac. He had 200 less points. He had 3 Stanley Cups. Do you retire his number?
No.
He had 3 Stanley Cups. He would be more likely to be retired than Zajac. And he shouldn't be. Listen, Travis Zajac is a fantastic player. He was one of my favorites for a long time. He's not somebody that you retire. I think that there is currently, we do not expect any jersey retirements for the New Jersey Devils for the next 15 years.
Oh, they're fun.
Yeah, I know. It's unfortunate. I think that Jack and Nico are the most likely to be retired going forward. That's what it's going to be. The Devils don't have anybody. After Eliash, who else would you retire for the Devils? I don't think Zajac is not worth a jersey retirement. That's why I think they should have a Ring of Honor. They should have, you know what? You know, this is what I will say. I'll get to this point after, but for the Ring of Honor, they should have Zajac, Sergei Breland, John McClain, and there's probably even a couple other guys you could think of if you really think about it. What the Devils should do, in my opinion, and it will never happen while he still is involved in the NHL, I think that Lou Lamoriello should have a banner up in the rafters.
Oh, I think so too.
That's what I think. That would be the next time the Devils have something in the rafters. Zajac will not be that. Lou Lamoriello absolutely should have something in the rafters. I didn't even think about that originally, but of course, he should have something in the rafters. I think he will eventually. I do not think it will be while he is still in the NHL. I hope he's alive for it, but you know, I wouldn't even be surprised if he didn't want that when he was around. But it definitely will not happen when he is with an NHL team. But he absolutely should be retired. But that's exactly what we should be talking about. Travis, Lou Lamoriello is the architect of the Devils, and he's the architect of what it means to be a New Jersey Devil. So him and Martin Brodeur are the two most important employees of the New Jersey Devils.
You got that right.
So absolutely, that would be the next time that a...
You were there for Marty's night, right?
I was there for all five.
Remember when... they were saying Lou.
Yeah.
Wait, why am I saying they? We were there, and then they had Gary, and they were like boo. And then Lou comes up and he said, "Commissioner, that's not the same thing you got."
Yeah, that was funny. That was a good one. That was a good crack. That was a great night. The Marty one and the Scott Stevens ones were by far the best. The Scott Stevens one was actually probably louder. I was only, I think, 10 years old when that happened, but it was a game against, I don't want to get this wrong. I think it was against Carolina. I think it was against the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, I think it was.
I think it was against Carolina. I know they won 3-0. That was loud. Prudential Center has not gotten as loud as it did in the Meadowlands, from my experience, from going to the playoff games at the Meadowlands. But you know, I think that's going to change. I think Friday is going to be a great crowd. I think if you remember the year that when Hall came back after his injury, and Hughes was just drafted, that game was electric, and it wound up being an absolute dumpster fire when they lose in a shootout.
Oh yeah, it was quiet right after.
Oh, 4-0 lead, blown to the Winnipeg Jets, losing a shootout 5-4. I know, big surprise, the Devils losing a shootout. Corey Schneider got hurt in that game. The Devils wound up starting 0-6 before they beat the Rangers. That crowd was hot. And I think it's going to be like that on Friday. I really do. Chicago is obviously a very popular team, so you'll be going for an original six team. You have Patrick Kane.
Flurry.
So the crowd will definitely be ready for that game. I think Dougie Hamilton, Jack Hughes are going to be getting huge ovations along with Nico Hischier. I think hopefully they play well, because I think that getting off to a good start for the Devils is going to be very important.
Oh, for sure. You don't want that minute goal in and then get the crowd all quiet.
No, you definitely don't want that. I think they'll play well. I think they'll be ready. I think that the crowd's going to be ready to go. This is, to me, the first time the Devils have had, I saw on Twitter, they're expecting it to be a sellout. It's going to be the first time the Prudential Center has had a full capacity crowd in over 500 days. We just signed the biggest free agent on the market. Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier are looking to take the next step. Mackenzie Blackwood is looking to take the next step. Dawson Mercer, a guy that is going to be a fan favorite for the New Jersey Devils, is going to be debuting. I think that is all the right ingredients for an absolutely fantastic crowd, and hopefully a good game, hopefully a good result.
I think it's my 316th game.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good. I know you're up there in years as a season ticket holder now, right?
Yeah, and the Devils win a lot when I go. I think they have 200-plus wins.
Well, you started off when they were still pretty
pretty decent. First year, they go to the Cup, and then it went downhill from there.
Your first year as a season ticket holder, they went to the Cup?
Yeah, 11-12.
Well, then you did pretty good then, because 11-12, I mean, after 11-12, they didn't have many good years. The year with Jagr and when we got Corey, they were a pretty good team, but they wound up just missing by 5 points. If you have a winning record, it looks like you got to make it out to a lot of games this year, because we could definitely use that good luck. Hopefully the Devils will outperform our expectations. I know I said earlier that I don't have them being in the playoffs, but if things break right, I think they can maybe sneak in as a wild card. The Metropolitan is a very tough division, though, and I think it's going to depend on, if Washington and Philly start their decline. And I also am not sold on Philadelphia. I don't think that their biggest offset season acquisition was Ryan Ellis, who's a really good player, but then, you know, Rich Laney, who I think is a pylon that. So I don't think they'll be very good. I know a lot of people think that the Flyers might be good this year, but I'm not leaning that direction. So hopefully the Devils can sneak in and we can get this going, because the Devils being good, it would be great for all of us, because a lot of us are very, very long suffering now.
Oh yeah. All right, so before we let you go, over under 90 points and then over under 38 wins. What do you got?
You know, I might do some math on the fly here just to make sure the 38 points. 90 points. I'm going to go under on 90 points. I don't think that they are quite a 90-point team. I think that getting to 90 points almost puts you at that playoff bubble. I think they're more like the 85 range. And I honestly would be happy at 85 to 90. I'd be pretty happy for them if they just miss out. I'm not sure about the win, because they have so many shootout losses every year, because they can't win in the shootout. So they can get to a decent point total, That 38 is a pretty good number. I'm gonna go. I'm going to go under on the 38 too. I'm going to go under on that. I'm going to go under on the 90, go under on the 38. I think you're looking at I think it's just going to be under. I think it's more going to be like 36.
So like you could see us going like 36, 28, and 18.
18's large. That's a big number.
Well, that was 13, 14.
Yeah, that was the year that they had the ridiculous. They cannot possibly lose that many shootout games. I think they were 0-10 that year. They were 0-10 in the shootout that year.
And if we won half of those, we would have made the playoffs.
We didn't even have to win. Yeah, if we won half.
And the Rangers would have missed out, and they wouldn't have went on that cup run.
Was that the year that happened?
Yeah, 13-14.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I remember that we just missed out on that. And then I think, that would have been nice to screw them out of a spot, but not meant to be. I think they'll probably hover around that. What did you say they were that year? They were 36 what?
They were like 36, 28, and 18.
36, 28, and 18. So if you take 36, 28, 18. So I'll get them at like 36, 36, and 10.
All right, makes sense.
That's kind of what I'm looking for. I think that's kind of the low end, though. I'm trying to be pessimistic because I was so burned that year when Hall came back after his injury, and they had Hughes and they had PK Subban, who was just off of a third place Norris voting, I think, either the year before, maybe the year before that. I thought that was going to be a shoo-in for a playoff team. I'm a little bit more cautious now about it. I think that 36 and 10 would be okay. I think that if you could shoot closer to 40, you'd be in a better spot. I do think ultimately they will wind up in the mid to high 80s, and they will, hopefully get in that five range. Maybe if things break right, they can push for a playoff spot, but I don't see them finishing above five in the division. I think the Rangers, the Islanders, Carolina is always good, and I think either Pittsburgh or Washington will hang around for one more year. I do think it's more likely to be Washington. But I think fifth is where the Devils ultimately will finish. Which can be a playoff spot.
It can be
a playoff spot. They will have to play well. But I think ultimately this is not quite the year. I think we see vast improvement. I think you see Nico and Jack take the next step. I think you see great play from Ty Smith. Dougie Hamilton is going to prove to be worth and, bring exactly what we wanted to as a power play quarterback. PK Subban and Jonas Siegenthaler are playing as a third defensive pairing could bode very well for this team. Smith and Severson won't be getting first line matchups anymore. They'll be playing against second line, which I think will be huge for both of them. Well, Damon Severson is always he's ragged on by a lot of Devils fans, but he's been the best defenseman on the Devils for a very long time. And I think putting him, he never was going to be a top pairing defenseman. I think as a top four, I think that's much more suited for him. And I think we're going to see him thrive this year when he does come back from injury. Like we've talked about, I do think the Devils ultimately will just miss. I think that the Rangers, Islanders, and Carolina are for sure better than them. I think that Pittsburgh or Washington will hang around. I think the Devils will finish fifth, hopefully not sixth. But I think five and six is their most likely landing spot. So one more year, Doug. Maybe next year.
All right, one more year.
Maybe next year we'll be able to go to a playoff game after some more growth. And there's also a number four draft pick that might be ready next year, might be ready the following year. But, even if we don't make the playoffs this year, I think Devils fans should be very, very thrilled about where this team's going. Alexander Holtz is going to, I think, be a 40-goal scorer in the NHL. And I think Luke Hughes is going to be a stud. You have two studs, absolute studs, coming to the NHL. And you know what? You can't count out Shakir Mukhamudulin either. He's looked good to start up the KHL season. If we can get something out of him, that's a plus. And the Devils should be set up fairly well following the next year or two. I think once you get Holtz and Hughes in here, I think we'll be off and running and we'll be a pretty consistent playoff team for the next, 6 to 8 years.
All right. So I'm going to finish off with this question. When and if the Devils do win the Stanley Cup, number four in their franchise history,
okay,
could have been number six, but we know what happened in 2000 and 2012. How hammered will Jack and Luke Hughes be?
How hammered will they be?
Yeah.
I think they probably break a breathalyzer, to be honest with you.
That I'm looking forward to.
That I'm looking forward to. The only problem is you gotta find a pretty decent spot for Stanley Cup parade. I'm not sure if going down Broad Street in Newark is in everyone's best interest.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah, I don't know about the parking lot at the Meadowlands either. We might have to find something a little bit better than that. But hopefully we do see Jack and Lucubes very much breaking breathalyzers, celebrating a Stanley Cup win for the New Jersey Devils. We'll worry about the parade route when that comes.
Yeah, you and I both can't wait for that. We've been,
and I know we'll definitely both be there too. It's been a long time.
Oh yeah, you know, for sure.
Unfortunately for both of us, we were a little bit younger when the Devils really were in their heyday. I do remember, the Devils didn't miss the playoffs for the first time until I was in ninth grade in 2010 when Zach Parise tore his ACL. So I was accustomed to the Devils making the playoffs every single year. They had a couple of very big letdown years in 2010 when they acquired Kovalchuk, when Marty went down with the injury and Scott Clemenson led them to 52 wins. They lost to the Flyers in the 7th seed year. They went to the finals. That was a year that was felt like a missed opportunity, which that team was much better than 2012. They lost to the Senators in the playoffs when they were really good. That 2009 year against Carolina, were you at that game against Carolina game 7?
No, but you want to know what I did?
What was that?
I think they were winning 3-2, and the Rangers lost to the Capitals that day.
Yes, the Rangers lost to the Capitals, and the Devils at the time were up 2-1.
So I was so excited. So I put on I think maybe the Met game, right? And I go upstairs and I get my my Marty jersey all set to wear it for school to like get on Mr. Laffy, if you remember him.
I don't think so.
He coached the hockey team for like 1 year. Right? I go downstairs, I put on ESPN News, and what do I see? Devils lose to the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, that is by far the worst game in that I ever saw. I was unfortunately there. They were up 3-2. The Rangers had just lost to, I believe, the Capitals in the playoffs that year, and of course the Hurricanes tied, and then Eric Staal scored the game winning goal right between the defensemen's, I forgot who it was. Maybe it was Parise that was coming back. I forgot exactly what it was, but it was a goal that Marty probably would have wanted back. UC Jokinen was the one that scored, and he wound up playing for the Devils.
Oh, boy. All I know is since I graduated high school, things have been downhill for the Devils and the Giants. That's all I know.
Yeah, yeah. I don't feel too bad about the Giants. Not feeling too bad about them, knowing what my allegiances are. So I don't feel bad for you in that respect. But in terms of the Devils, we kind of missed out on the Marty Stevens, Danico, Niedermeyer heydays. So hopefully we get to have our own little heyday coming forward with Nico, Jack, Ty, Luke, Dougie, Mackenzie Blackwood. Hopefully that's in store for us.
Oh, I hope so. Thanks for coming on, Orson. Hopefully tomorrow's a great night.
Thanks, though, for having me on. Go Devils. Hopefully we'll have a nice win against the Blackhawks and then move on to Seattle on Monday.
I hope so. There's nothing like leaving the Prudential Center hearing the Let's Go Devils chant. I don't want it to be quiet. It's like,
No, it's time for this team to win games. I want a lot of happy people leaving Prudential Center this year.
Oh, me too. Thank you, Orson.
Thanks, Doug.
That was Orsting Schoening on the latest episode of the Doug Saravo Show. Devils start off their season tomorrow night against the Chicago Blackhawks in Newark, New Jersey at the Prudential Center. Thank you for watching and thank you for listening on all your podcast applications.